New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome to the latest edition of Five on the Floor Live. I am your host, Greg Sylvander. I come to you directly after a Miami Heat victory. Today's floor plan with me, Brian Fonseca. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Fonseca NY, and Sean Rochester. You can follow him at S Rochester NBA. So the regular post game crew is back. That is always a dope thing. We are excited to go over the 118-110 victory that the Miami Heat just got over the Detroit Pistons. It was a close game. There's a lot to unpack there. Before we start, I do want to shout out to everybody off the floor. That's where everybody needs to head. This is where the most passionate, informed, respectful Heat fans engage in conversation. There's channels to talk about the draft, to talk about prospects, to talk about just Heat stuff in general. We do Q&As. There's a music and culture chat, fantasy and gambling, where Brian and Sean are hooking people up with picks. You need to sign up. $2.99 on desktop, $3.99 on your Apple device. Off the Floor, that's our Discord server. Check it out. It is linked in the description of this episode. You have to check it out. Trust me, it is the place to go. Get away from all the other social media apps. Condense it all into one place for all your Miami Heat content off the floor. Okay, so this was an unbelievable game. Just from the standpoint of, I didn't expect it to be this close. Detroit was playing spoiler. Jimmy Butler played possum. And all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler went crazy. Sean, I'll come to you first. Initial thoughts on the game. We're going to get you the gamer. Just to the audience, we're going to get you the gamer of the night. We're going to get you the aggressive play of the night. But just your initial thoughts, Sean, on the victory, 118-110 at the Kaseya Center.
Yeah, you know, if you've paid attention to the Pistons, which I know a lot of people don't, right? You know that they're a bad team, but they've been competing lately. So I wasn't necessarily shocked that they competed. We know recently, you know, they had the crazy ending against the Knicks, but like the Heat, while the game was always relatively close, I never felt like they were out of control. I also didn't feel like they were like playing with their food, like an undisciplined team. It just felt like they kept it at a comfortable 5-point lead and it never extended beyond that, which is not, you know, as a fan, you certainly want to blow these teams out and you want to watch, you know, your end of the bench guys play. But at the same time, you know, I think it's a young team that's going to play hard. The Heat did what they needed to do. They got the win, which is the most important thing. And yeah, it's one of those weird games because we played a very close game against them in the first game of the season too. And it's a very different Heat and Pistons team. But all in all, the win is the most important thing. The rest of it, who really cares that much?
I know Detroit's been a dumpster fire. Cade Cunningham had moments today where he flashes. Jaden Ivey looked good. Jalen Duren is really good. He had a move on Bam where he spun baseline and dunked, and I was like, wow. So Detroit did some things that were impressive, but overall, and this Fontecchio, I hope I'm saying his name correctly. He is a random scrub heat killer if I've ever seen one. Brian, your initial thoughts on this game?
I'll get into some fourth quarter stuff in a little bit, but I think ultimately it was a great showing for them down the stretch from what looked like a shaky start early on, because the Pistons actually do fight. I don't think they're coached very well because I don't think they have the right coach. Nikola Jokic got ejected, but otherwise I thought he was playing very well. Jimmy finished it off. Terry Rozier was very, very consistent early on and then less so late, but he looked good. And then Caleb Martin, he came out the game, came back in. He was very good also. And, you know, they got a much-needed win on a night where the Sixers lose and on a night where the Knicks lose. And we should be tracking the standings as well.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. We're going to go through the standings because I think they're a half game out of either the 5 or the 4 seed. We'll need to track on that. And the Celtics lost, which, you know, whether that helps the Heat in the standings or not, we're always going to be happy for that. Without any further ado, let's get directly into the Rock Esports Gamer of the Night.
And now on 5 on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention 5 reasons, it's just $20. So mention 5 reasons or 5 RSN, you get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
It's that time of year, y'all. March Madness applies to college basketball, but March Madness also applies to Jimmy Butler. This guy, for most of the game, appears to be playing possum in certain ways, getting other guys involved. There were plays early from others, and we'll get into that later, that were impressive, and other guys were being aggressive, and they were getting their shots. But then Jimmy turned it on, and he had quite the second half, particularly making plays down the stretch to kind of close this game out. He's just a stabilizing force. He continues to play game after game like a player that is gearing up for a major playoff run. Brian, I'm going to come to you first on Jimmy Butler, because I haven't had the chance to actually ask you this. Just Jimmy post All-Star break has been incredible. What are your thoughts on the trajectory of this team if Jimmy Butler continues on this pace?
He was, as I wrote after the All-Star break, the boogeyman of the second half of the year, or rather the last third of the year. He averaged 26-6-6 last year after the All-Star break. He's not quite there, but he's sniffing that sort of territory right now. Defensively, he's been strong, and that's where I've seen the biggest differences. The active hands, the Ed Reed shit, playing free safety, cutting off passing lanes, deflecting passes, getting out in transition, finishing on the break, getting on the break to begin with. Like, you actually see that aggressiveness in Jimmy. Like, you know he's into it when you start seeing steals, when you start seeing deflections, when you see him fly around, play the passing lanes, and obviously when he's looking for his shots on offense. But it starts with the defense for him. It's the reason why when they struggle, he's always harping on the defense. Even when everyone wants him to talk offense, he's always talking about need to get stops, defense, defense, defense. I think there's a reason he says that is because when he really has it going, the defense is there. And that's sort of been the biggest change for me now versus where he was earlier this year.
12 free throw attempts. But there is this common thread where Heat fans feel like Jimmy almost trolls the game, Sean, and like paces himself. And then right when he needs to step up, he goes. How much validity do you give that sentiment, one? And also, as I kind of sneak in other guys that were great tonight, because Brian has alluded to them, and I do want Brian to be able to weigh in on Terry and Bam as well. But Bam Adebayo also closed out with 18 and 7. He didn't have a particularly efficient night. So your thoughts on Jimmy and then pivoting to Bam a bit.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's trolling. I think it's, and we've said this before, Jimmy is just one of those guys that he has a switch. Most people don't have it. They think they have it. But Jimmy truly has that switch he can turn on and take over a game at any time. We saw that tonight, even though it's the Detroit Pistons in the beginning of March, where at the end of that game, he slammed the door shut. I mean, we talked, you know, in our text thread, we were very much about Terry Rozier being player of the night or gamer of the night. And it flipped at the end of the game, really, because not because Terry stopped playing well. It's because Jimmy just took over. I mean, the way that he played defensively, the way he shot the ball, hit that three, had the drive to the basket, like he just took over in a lot of different ways. And you can tell from the beginning, and Brian, I hope I'm not misspeaking here because I know he had a steal early. Did he hit two?
He hit two. He hit over 1.5, baby.
I was the one my guys got for his player prop. So, but you can see engaged Jimmy Butler in that he's actively playing passing lanes. He had that great rip on Wiseman where he darted from the corner, stripped him, and then went down. It's just one of those things where you can tell Jimmy's engaged based on those types of plays. And when we have engaged Jimmy, great things happen. To the Bam point, early on, not well, very off, like the touch inside the basket. It was like he was throwing like bowling balls up at the basket. Like he had no touch around the rim. Jalen Duren is a great player, great athlete, very comparable to Bam in a lot of ways. I think Bam is a little bit more skilled, like with guard skills, but it's a tough matchup. And you're going to see it again on Thursday night with Daniel Gafford, the rookie. Like they got like, so many guys. Yeah, they have so many guys that they can throw at him that are athletes, and Bam sometimes struggles with that. Not so much the big size of like a Brook Lopez. It's just like he has to be able to use his footwork, which he did a better job in the second half, and then just, you know, like take over with that fine tuning, going at people, not trying to play bully ball, not trying to use his athleticism, but use his smarts, his IQ to out execute them. So I thought it was all in all a pretty good Bam game, not his best. But it was better in the second half for sure.
You mentioned earlier how we were leaning gamer of the night, Terry Rozier. Brian was sticking to his guns for a while there. It felt like you thought Terry was going down that road, and then Jimmy became Jimmy. So in a recent Five on the Floor, we talked about closing lineups, and the lineup that I initially throughout there was the lineup that closed tonight, except Hawkes instead of Duncan. And by the end of the episode, I had been convinced that it had to be Duncan instead of Hawkes, basically. So I got my closing lineup, and it includes Terry Rozier. I think he's just absolutely what he can do to get to the basket when he is playing in the flow of the offense, but also being really aggressive. He's exactly what they were missing. Brian, what did you see from Terry Rozier tonight early that had you leaning with him as the gamer of the night initially before Jimmy did Jimmy things?
So 7 assists to 3 turnovers, which is a positive ratio that's better than 2-1. I think the playmaking has sort of been underrated because we've been so focused on the shot sort of not falling, and lately been a little better, made half of his 3-point attempts. You'll take that every time. He made them all just sort of in a stretch in a quarter, which, you know, you'll still take that if you're Eric Spoelstra. He really can be explosive offensively. I legitimately think, and this is funny, this is documented on record in our text thread from months ago. I told Greg and Sean, but I told Greg especially, because I was like, can't you picture Terry Rozier, one, being a Heat player, two, getting like 38 points in a game 6 on the road, and people just remembering that? The only difference is I said it would happen in like 2025, and we may actually see it in 2024. Like he hasn't quite dialed it up to that level yet. There's still certain things, but I sense the comfort. Like, I really do feel like he's getting more comfortable in the offense. The guys are making him more comfortable in the offense. Obviously, he's not going to put up the numbers that he was putting up in Charlotte because he doesn't have to. Jimmy's there, Bam's there, Duncan's there. Like, this is a well-balanced team now, at least on paper, and they've been playing like it functionally. This is honestly, I think, the deepest team that Jimmy and Bam have had since they became teammates. I'm not calling it the best team, But I think you have, even with the addition of Patty Mills today, like you have a lot of guys who can play on this team. And with Terry Rozier, I'm seeing just slow progress, slow progress. Didn't get to the free throw line tonight. That's something that he actually has been doing, getting downhill, attacking the rim. Like, he actually gets to the rim. He can drive and kick. He can shoot three. Just needs to be a little bit more consistent with his shots, competing on defense, doing all the things that we sort of expected. And I think that he's going to do it at a higher level as this sort of progresses. Because remember, he was playing for a couple weeks without a home, didn't even have a condo. He's only been on the team for a little over a month. So, you know, let him get settled in a little bit more. But it's starting to work is what I see.
I see that as well. I am a proponent of them leaning into Terry Rozier as a weapon for this team. It's just I can't – the speed with which he can maintain – is something that everyone is getting used to and they needed it so bad. And when he's hitting that mid-range stuff, I don't want him to rely on it too much, but I also understand why he mixes it in. There's a couple other guys that we have to talk about, and one of them is a great segue right into the Insurance by Lynette play of the night.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette play of the night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com at A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at InsuranceByLynette.com. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so you got to go into your memory bank because this one was early in the game, but it was an unbelievable play by none other than Duncan Robinson. He had, I believe it was the rook, Asar Thompson on him, correct? And he did what I would like to call the Tracy McGrady move, because that's who I remember used to do that little in and out dribble, like behind the back dribble as he's spinning. Initially, I thought he did the Steve Smith Smitty look away move, but it really wasn't that. It was more of this behind the back dribble as he spun. It was an awesome move that got him to the cup. He had an unbelievable finish. Duncan Robinson is doing things that I never thought he'd be capable of doing. He is making plays I never thought he'd be capable of making. And I'm here to tell you that I've watched Miami Heat basketball since 1990, 1991, and I've never seen a player transform his game the way that Duncan Robinson has since. And that includes every Heat player that's ever been there. Like, that's the kind of night and day that we're seeing from Duncan Robinson. He went from one of my least favorite players to one of my favorite players. And tonight he showed why when he did an unbelievable move on a really what's known a player, a prospect who came into the league as a defender. So shout out to him for getting Wemby with one move. And now he got Asar Thompson from this draft class as well. Do either of you want to speak on Duncan, but also I want to pivot to Caleb Martin. There was some injury concern for a bit, but he came back after halftime and was fine. I guess, Sean, I'll come to you here on Duncan Robinson's continued great play, because he's just playing at such a high level. Some of the passes he's making are unbelievable, but then also Caleb Martin's play where early he had 15 quick points. He really carried the team early as we watched.
Yeah. I mean, the Duncan play is obviously just, if you showed Duncan a video of him doing that play, he could go in a time machine, showed it to him 3-4 years ago. I don't even think Duncan Robinson could think he could do that. Like, these guys have all the confidence in the world. None of us believe that. There's no way we would have thought a couple years ago Duncan could do that. He's still giving you the shooting. He was 4-9 tonight. Very timely threes for sure. But like you said, the passing, the lob passes to Bam. He had 4 assists again tonight. He's continually having good assist games. The rebounding, the defense is better. It's just, you know, his overall game continues to improve. 36 minutes for Duncan. Whenever they get healthy, if they get healthy, I don't know what they do with the starting lineup. They just got to make sure that he plays about 30 or more minutes a game. That's it. I don't care who starts. Make sure he's on the floor with certain lineups for 30 or more minutes. The Caleb point, great. Had that little weird, like, rolled his ankle, stepping on the cameraman. But, again, Caleb continues to shoot the ball well. 3-for-6 from behind the arc. I say this every time. I just can't grasp the confidence of his line drive shot, but he keeps going in. He's proving me wrong, and I'll keep being wrong as long as he shoots it with confidence. So it's just good to see those guys, along with Jaime, had a pretty good game tonight, 11-6 off the bench. And I thought, you know what? Thomas Bryant, he didn't put anything really in the box score besides those two blocks, but Thomas Bryant wasn't bad for those few minutes that he had to go out there tonight. We hope Kevin Love gets back soon, but I was impressed with his limited minutes, even though the box score doesn't show that.
Hey, he had 2 blocks. Brian, I'm interested in your perspective on Nico, because that's your guy. He is he's fired up, man. Like, this dude's coming with intensity night after night. He's leaving the bench. He's defending his players. He's pissed at the refs. He's being animated. This is not some, like, a shrinking violet of a young player. Like, this dude is got some fire behind him, and I'm interested. I asked Brady in the post game interviews if he could ask Jimmy about Nico's attitude. I'm interested to hear your perspective on the way he's been approaching the game lately, but also this role that they have him in, where, and you saw it tonight, he played 21 minutes. He starts the game. He would have started the second half, et cetera, but he doesn't really play, you know, an integral role late. What do you think of Nico's play of late? What do you think of Nico's play tonight? And also, since you followed him before he got to Miami, is he known as being an intense, fiery player, like a Goran Dragic type, that, like, he's not necessarily a dirty player. He's not someone who gets a ton of technical fouls, but he also doesn't take any bleep.
Yeah, when he was in Serbia, you could see some of the fire early on. He was in a much different role, though, because, you know, he was handling the ball. He was one of the best players on his team. He was one of the best young players internationally. I will remind people that the year before he got drafted, in the GM survey, he was on the others receiving votes of best international player not in the NBA currently. Victor Wembanyama, I think, was first in that polling, but Nikola Jovic was somebody who showed up in the survey just before the Heat drafted him. I was somebody who was saying before the NBA draft, that he was somebody I liked a lot more than consensus. I thought that he was a lottery talent and somebody that would get drafted maybe in the top 20. Anything below that would be a steal. And of course, of all organizations, these guys get them because they're smart. And even though they don't draft international often, really at all, and haven't lately, they saw something in this kid that I think you're starting to see now. I think with Nikola Jovic, this is the right role for him for now. I think he should start. For people who say that the Heat are too small, and I do think that there's something to that, believe me. But for people who say that the Heat are too small, that they're not going to compete with some of these bigger teams because they like playing 6-for-5 dudes at the four, I am one of those people who have said such things. The best case scenario for the Heat to size up and be able to play bigger teams is Nikola Jovic being good, because you're not going to go out and get another center or power forward right now. You just signed Patty Mills to get rid of Drew Smith. Like, there's nobody available right now, literally, unless you want to try Markieff Morris's brother, Marcus, who I believe is out there on waivers. But again, he's not somebody who plays big necessarily.
He made too much money, they can't sign him.
Right. Yeah. So you can't even do that. I think Nikola Jovic right now is in the right role. You start him the first, you start him the third, you give him another shift in between that. If he's playing well, you can close with him. But I often think that they'll probably lean with like a Caleb Martin or something along those lines. So I think Jovic has given you more. You'll see similar stat lines to what he's been putting up lately. Ever since the 24-point game, it's something around 9-5-2, 9-5-3, something along those lines, shooting it more efficiently. You're trusting the three-point shot a little bit more. And I think that's really like the sort of thing that gets your attention is, can he hit the three consistently? And can he play well as a complementary piece off of their stars? Because that's really what it's all about. And when they drafted him, I saw the vision where it's like, oh, this dude could play off of Bam and Jimmy. And I feel like you're starting to see portions of that. I don't think he's at where his peak is going to be yet. He's only 20 years old. He's a baby. He just graduated high school like yesterday, if he even has. I'm not even sure if he's done that at this point. But, you know, he's gonna develop in a different sort of way. And he's one of the most unique guys they have on the roster. I think the skill set that he has is something that's very interesting that they should be able to develop.
So shout out to Rock St. Louis with the super chat. We appreciate the donation very much. Duncan is the real deal. Jimmy is hemming, and his season just started post All-Star. Go Heat. I think we all are aligned with that. So shout out to you. We appreciate that very, very much. As you look at this team, a guy we haven't talked about yet is Jaime Jaquez. Sean, what was your thoughts on his game tonight? He's been a player that I think fans have started to nitpick his game a little bit more lately as he's tried to find his way and hasn't been like the all-world rookie that they saw initially. But I think that he's slowly getting back in that groove. He's getting more efficient. He's making cuts. He's finding his way. What were your impression of Jaime Jaquez tonight?
I thought Jaime was good. You know, he, again, like you said, expectations have to be, you know, under control a little bit. Like, I don't think that there's any reason to doubt his potential or anything that we thought before, but, you know, 27 minutes, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists on good shooting. That's pretty good for a rookie, you know, beginning of March. He does a good job. I feel like when guys are off the floor, you can run offense through him. He's generally a pretty good decision maker. There was a decision tonight where in transition where he kicked it out for a three, which I thought he had a layup. I didn't necessarily like that, but sometimes that's part of Heat culture, it seems like. We like to pass up open shots to get open three. So he's buying into that. But, you know, I think, again, he's a good defender. He's a strong player, so he can guard up if he needs to. He can guard down because he's an intelligent player in terms of keeping his hands off and things like that. So I just think he's going to play his role. He's going to close games sometimes, and sometimes he's not. He may start some games here and there when maybe Jimmy's out, taking some games off as we head to the playoffs. But all in all, I think he had a good game, and I think he's got momentum back after that injury that he suffered a few weeks ago.
Couple more topics to cover, but we do want to get to the Eric Rubenstein injury report.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan. But the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
quickly, Ethan was in the locker room today and had some conversation with Kevin Love. It appears as if he won't make the upcoming road trip. Initially, when he, I guess, felt the injury, he thought maybe he had broke his foot, but, or, you know, it wasn't that. So that's the good thing. He should be back eventually. He's progressing, but he probably won't be back for this trip. DeLon Wright didn't play tonight, but he's not injured. Jamal Cain was on G League assignment. Tyler Hero, it's weird. You know, we've chronicled this, that initially we thought it was one thing. Now it appears to be a lingering foot issue. Josh Richardson continues to be out, and Drew Smith was still on the bench, you know, injured. And to that point, it's a good segue for me to pulse check with both of you before we get final thoughts and get up out of here. Drew Smith was on the bench, and people were like, how the hell is he still on the bench? They signed Patty Mills. For anyone who didn't hear, the Miami Heat came to an agreement with Patty Mills as a additional guard slash point guard option for them with their last roster spot. But it will likely, or, you know, not likely, it will be with cutting Drew Smith, but he was on the bench still. That transaction is not final yet. So that's why he was still on the bench today. I'll go come to you first, Sean, your thoughts on the addition of Patty Mills, and then final thoughts on the Pistons Heat game tonight, and just a look ahead to where are we going next, Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas is up next on Thursday. In terms of the Patty Mills thing, I would say it was a shock to a lot of people. Like, I kind of felt like that was the roster and we were done. You know, obviously, first of all, like with the Drew Smith thing, you feel bad because he's a young guy trying to find his way in the league, has a tragic injury where it was in Cleveland, right, where he stepped on like that panel and, you know, loses his season. Hopefully, and I'm sure there is things in place that he can continue to rehab and get better and try to find his way, whether it's in Miami, Sioux Falls, somewhere else. But, you know, in terms of the Heat, that was a roster spot that was going to be not able to be used. And so whether Patty Mills plays 0 minutes or 100 minutes in the next, you know, 20 games plus playoffs, you just gave yourself an active body, even if it's just in practice. You have a guy that's a veteran that's been through these wars. We remember him from back in the days of the Big Three. He's a good shooter and obviously a good vet. I think he's gonna blend in very well, but I don't necessarily expect him to play a lot of minutes. Like, I think people are like, why did we sign him? Where is he going to play? And every time we sign somebody, it doesn't necessarily mean they're actually going to play. So I don't know where you guys came on that, but that's
we're not seeing DeLon play. So you're making a great point, Brian. Your thoughts?
Can he play power forward?
No, a lot of people thought the Heat should have gone bigger with it, with their final roster spot. So you're leaning into a point there, but I'm interested to hear, you know, your thoughts on Patty Mills, because it did come out of nowhere. Like, neither Ethan nor I heard anything related to Patty Mills. We always knew that he was on the Heat's radar as a player because they always are keeping tabs on guys who have killed them before, but there was nothing imminent at all that we had heard. So this was a complete surprise. Your thoughts on that signing, and then final thoughts on Pistons Heat tonight.
Absolutely beloved San Antonio Spur, and Australian national basketball star. Patty Mills is that dude, just from like a basketball career standpoint. Now, he really ain't going to be that dude in Miami because I don't expect him to play a whole lot. I expect to see more of DeLon Wright than him. And I think DeLon Wright is going to be more matchup dependent, where, you know, Dame is going to be matched up with him at times if he's going off. And there's like a clear sort of role there. I think Patty Mills is more just veteran insurance, guy you can put in and trust to give you 8 good minutes when you need 8 good minutes and things along those lines. It's important to note that Josh Richardson injury is potentially serious. And this is one of the things I thought about when they brought in Patty Mills, because it's like, whose minutes could he be taking is the question that a lot of people would ask. And for me, I would think that's nobody, but Josh Richardson may, like, we don't know how severe that injury is, if when he comes back or if he comes back before the playoffs, he's going to be ready to play in the playoffs. It looks like this can be a situation where he gets phased out of the rotation because he would have to come back due to injury, and then even if he were to come back healthy, there's still a lot of guards on this team now. Tyler Hero is still out. That bears a mention. But yeah, I don't think I expect a whole lot from Patty Mills. I think he's going to do what people wanted Goran Dragic to do, except I think he has more to give than Goran at this point.
I agree. I'm not expecting much, but I do think that he's the type of player that can come in and in a weird situation where somebody's in foul trouble and the offense is anemic, he can come in and hit a couple threes here or there. He can get you through a stretch if your guards are down. And right now they're down two guards, and who knows when another one sprains their ankle out of nowhere. So while a lot of people thought that maybe they should add another big, I just don't think Spoelstra is ever going to lean into playing big. So Patty Mills, that is, who are we to doubt? Usually they either get these right or they're, you know, players that come and go and they don't hurt anything necessarily. And so I don't expect him to hurt what the Heat are trying to move toward. Overall, Miami Heat do get the victory here. This is a situation where they are continuing to move up in the standings. They are now at least in the sixth spot at 35-26. We'll see if they can continue to rise up. Only a half game behind New York now as it stands. So we have a lot of basketball to be played, but the Heat are in a really good position. Thank you to our sponsor.
Hold on.
Oh my gosh.
There's a major fourth quarter stat that I need to put on the show before we break out of here, because I haven't done post game in a while. But Sean and I have been tracking how bad this team has been in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And well chronicled.
That has changed. At one point, they were 18-32 in fourth quarters, minus 126 point differential. The Heat have won 10 of their last 11 fourth quarters. So they're 10-1 in fourth quarters. This goes back to the Orlando game. So this is basically a month of games. This goes back to the Orlando game where they just demolished them. I think it was 121-95. So they've won 10 of their last 11 fourth quarters. The only one that they lost was against the Sacramento Kings. The point differential is plus 47. So for the year, they're 28-33 and minus 79. However, lately, plus 47 in their last 11 games over last month. And in terms of things looking different for this team, and the reason why I'm back in on this team now is because of that. It starts there. Because I said all season long, they clean up the fourth quarter shit, then they can do something. And I think now this team could do something, because before, wasn't looking that way. They were one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the NBA. And lately, over the last month, they've been one of the best.
You know what they did in February? They cleaned up what you're referencing, and they cleaned up the defense. And if you clean up the defense and you clean up the fourth quarters, that's a winning formula when you have Jimmy Butler, who can also close games and is ascending as well. So all great points. I'm glad you snuck that in. Shout out to our sponsors, Brian, Sean. Thank you for your time. Make sure you check out Discord to everybody who's watching. We appreciate it. We'll have you covered for Dallas, Miami on Thursday. Peace out to everybody out there. And yes, 55 Duncan Robinson is a bad dude. His play was unbelievable. Everybody, go find that highlight and watch it. That's how we're ending this stream. Peace out.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.